There was a circle of them now, nearly 30 of the glowers seated together, their legs crossed, their bodies throbbing blue, their organs pumping rapidly on the outside of their bodies as they prepared to send out their energies. They sat around Kim, her arms folded across her breasts. Rock walked back through the door, naked himself from his purification ceremony. He had sat for the full 2 hours in the direct sun, without water or shade, without clothes. He reached out to the sun, to the earth for strength, for ultimate courage, and sank into a deep meditation. He came to when he felt it was time. Now was the moment of reckoning, and he had never felt so frightened in his life, for he held, he knew without question, Kim's very life in his hands.
You are purified?
As purified as I'm gonna get.
I am the turquoise spectrum, the healing spectrum. You must lie down beside her.
Rock did so, walking over to Kim and pushing back the urge to touch her, to hold her with all his might. He lay down next to her just inches away.
Join us now in the circle, with your mind. We know you are a strong man, Ted Roxon. An almost fantastic strength resides in you, in your mind as well. We have touched your thoughts, and know you are capable of doing what is necessary.
And what is that?
You must join with her essence, her very being, in order to save her. We have done everything we can. Her body is capable of being cleansed of the damage, but something in her deepest center is resisting, or is damaged. You must go in and bring her out. She is lost, Roxon. You must find her.
But how? How do I do this? I've never...
Do not fear. We will lead you. There is a drink to your right.
I could have sworn it wasn't there a moment ago.
Drink it.
The green porridge-like slew was wretched. The worst thing he had ever tasted. But he kept it down and swallowed it, feeling it all the way to his stomach. He could feel the energy of all the glowers around him. They were totally calm. Whatever they requested of him, he had to do. Never had he placed himself in someone else's grasp this way, and there was something in him that didn't like it. Didn't like it at all. Soon he felt the effects of the mescaline mesquite mixture they had given him to drink. It hit his guts like an explosion. He felt as if he was melting, as if he had no substance, like the glowers. He began hallucinating vividly, colors shifting, walls buckling. Kim, in the middle of the rippling room, seemed to swell and shrink.
There is no need to hallucinate. This is what we are like.
Suddenly, he was with them, part of them. He felt them. He knew what it was like to be a glower. It was beautiful, without pain or hatred, without the slightest trace of violent emotion. They were pure, pure of heart. Out of the most destructive, darkest forces ever unleashed on Earth had been created this race of benevolent beings who could set an example on how to live for the entire stupid human race. He was drifting energy. He was a breeze, a motion of swimming atoms. He was all places at once within each of the glowers, seeing what they were seeing, hearing what sounds they perceived. The images gathered into a giant spitting ball with lines of reality shooting off everywhere. And he could see it all as one, could perceive a million different planes of existence at once, and they were a new whole. It was as if his mind had been expanded to perceive on a macro scale, lifted to a new level of evolutionary consciousness. He could feel the rays from the solar system hitting the atmosphere of the Earth, could sense an immense tidal wave tearing across the Pacific Ocean. This was what the glowers perceived every second of every day, he realized in awe. Their senses seemed to extend right into the planet itself, as he felt them picking up distant tectonic plates shift far below the Earth's crust, and seismic waves from the earthquake activity constantly ripping at the planet. They were like gods.
Now you see what it is like.
It's beautiful. It It's beyond anything I've ever dreamt of.
To be with the Earth this way, to feel all things. To know all things is not to be able to do damage. How can one damage another when one would feel the pain themselves? We are mutants, but our way is the way of all life. This we wish to teach you. For yours is a life of profound destiny. What you do, what you make occur, will affect the future of our planet. And we wish very much for this fragile ball to survive. There is much to be done here and in the universe. Evil must be stopped everywhere. Life must flourish. And we are the guardians of life. Now, come with us.
They lifted him high, up into the clouds, and down into the dirt. He was with the birds, soaring. And then the worms, crawling through a billion, billion tons of darkness. Then they pulled him back. The energy that was Ted Roxon and that of the glowers seemed to spin around and around in the circle as they all sat motionless. Faster and faster, like some sort of cyclotron of souls. And when they had reached a critical mass, they flew into Kim, through her flesh, into the very pores of her being. Suddenly, they were in communion with Kim, inside her mind, her spirit. He groaned inwardly. She was grievously hurt, her cells dripping and bleeding inside, and he wanted to end the pain. He saw, through the glower's eyes, the synapses of her nervous system, the connection to another energy world. Gray shadows. He could see auric images floating, rainbow bodies. He searched with the glowers for her attachment to this world. It was gone, where there should have been the long, winding tunnel of her synapse system to the living. Was nothing. Her shadow body in this world, her life body, driven away by the blast.
Relax. You will look. Shall find her other and reattach.
They drifted, 32 minds forming a new mind, like balloons above other worlds. Worlds where the dead met the living, where all things were possible and impossible. Then he felt the presence of her, a vibration-like essence that he knew was her. The glowers felt this reaction and rapidly descended to the energy source. It was caught, trapped in a blast-created time warp, imprisoned between one moment and the next. They swooped down and, concentrating all their energy at once, lifted her life body from out of its neutron cage. They linked firmly with it and lifted back up. Soaring back into the multi-dimensional skies, flying with psychic wings. They flew so high that Rock grew alarmed within the collective mind, up into the blackness, till it seemed that even the stars were far below them. Then they dove, rippling down from out of the ethers into a brightness that grew and grew until it filled the heavens. And the glowers were now pure energy life coming down onto the surface even faster. Accelerating to nearly the speed of light. At the last moment before the impact, Roxon realized it was Kim they were about to fall into. Kim, with their cargo of her soul. The sun rose like a brilliant pearl of the purest, most aching red Roxon had ever seen. The sky was alive with a glistening silverish color, as if the entire heavens were made from a mother-of-pearl shell. The aurora shot down spears of brilliant day-glow reds and oranges and violets. It was the beginning to a day in which surely anything must be possible. Roxon sat with his arms around Kim as they nuzzled together on a small rise in the flat earth off to one side of the Glower's village. It had been nearly a week since he and the Glowers had retrieved her life force from the netherworlds, and she seemed better every day. The Glowers had immediately set to work healing her body once her mind was whole, and already the blisters were gone and her hair had returned to its natural color. They were able, as they had done with her father, to literally pull the radiation from her cells, absorbing it into their own, which they could use as sustenance. She turned to him and softly kissed his neck.
It's time, Rock.
Are you strong enough to...
A woman knows when she's ready.
She placed his strong hand over her full breasts, which seemed to swell at his touch. They spent the night together making slow, beautiful love. Her moans made him feel rich and alive, as strongly as the glowers had. He realized, as he moved inside her, that for men and women, their lovemaking was the way they experienced the harmony of things, the higher units created out of the joining of different living things. He felt closer to her now than he ever had. Now that their minds had linked, they seemed to have a kind of telepathic connection, even without the glower's help. They stared long into each other's eyes and seemed to experience thoughts, sensations through their eyes. They looked into each other's eyes so deep that they felt they might fall forever into the colorless purity of their hearts. Fall, swirling in the pleasures of the other, of love. But at last, as befalls all mortals, their pleasure came to an end. They rose as the sun rose above them higher and higher into the pink-tinged skies, with high purple wisps of volcanic smoke creating a violet mist high in the atmosphere. They walked back to the village, hand in hand.
Roxon, I've worked out a whole new plan of military coordination. Rock, with the many free cities and some battle plans, I think we might have a strategic edge over a number of Red Fortresses. As a president, I am also commander-in-chief, and I feel we must broaden our scope of attacks quickly. I need your help, Rock. Lots of it. I know of your great experience in battling the Reds, and also of the particle beam weapons you've told me about. Somehow, I feel we have the key to the whole ballgame here if we can just put it together.
Come, Rock.
We must leave here soon. Today, Rock, I...
Excuse me for a moment. The glowers are calling me.
Rock entered the healing dome and saw the glowers, again seated in their motionless circle. He removed his boots and sat cross-legged in the only remaining spot. He closed his eyes and quickly linked up fully with them. Again, they took him up, let him join their collective consciousness, their wholeness. He soared up into the skies and into the seas. He could see the Red Generals in Moscow planning their next lines of attack. Could see the starving hordes on the Asian plains, the almost decimated peoples of Africa. The glowers showed him the warlords ruling over their bloody domains throughout South and Central America, ruling with an iron fist, dispensing justice. They showed him the forests and the farms and the deserts, the ruined land, the wastelands running with swords, land that would never grow anything for centuries. They showed him the entire planet, its strengths and its ugliness, its beauty and its utter devastation. They let him see it all, for better or worse, holding back nothing. They gave him a glimpse of what they had, ultimate knowledge. His mind spun like a maelstrom, sucking down everything in its path as they slowly let him re-enter his physicality. He felt his body again, tightening his hands reassuringly beneath his grasp. Feeling his lungs breathing and his heart pounding furiously, as if he had just run 100 miles without stopping.
Now you see what we see, Roxon. Now you know.
Now I know.
You must win, Ted Roxon. We are against violence, but you saw what is happening to our Earth. Somehow she has still survived a great war. Somehow she lives. But there are forces at work in the world that are not content with just allowing the damage of the past to exist. They want more. They wish to destroy humanity and take the whole of Earth with them. They are pure death, Roxon.
Rock knew what they meant. They had shown him the stockpiles of nuclear weapons that still existed, shown him Colonel Keyloff plotting his exterminations, the hordes of untouchables that made up most of the planet.
You must stop it. You have the tools at your disposal to win, Roxon. Though you are vastly outnumbered by weapons and men. When you entered Kim's being, you did more than help her. You opened up your telepathic abilities. All humans have this power, but we believe that mutants like yourself, the star pattern ones, are capable of nearly the level of telepathy that we are. Your ability to come with us, to join our wholeness, is proof of that. You and Kim are forever locked in your inner hearts. You will know each other's pain, will experience what the other feels, not in an obvious way, but you will know. Roxanne, what you know can be taught to others. Find the star pattern mutants in every free city, and teach them to ride the energy waves as we do.
I fought the Reds, and will continue to fight them. But this thing you've shown me, I can barely work with it myself. It drains me, makes me feel half mad with confusion. There's just so much.
You must do this, Roxanne. With time, you will feel more comfortable with these abilities. But you must use them. Practice them every day. Just as your body has been hardened into stone, now your mind must become the eagle. The pure energy that flies among the stars, among minds. You have felt it, Roxanne. It is in you. You can never forget it. There is evil in the air. Far more than you could ever suspect. We must all do what we can. We are descended from the same beings as you. We inhabit a common land, language, past. We believe in the force of harmony. This you know. But the harmony becomes so unbalanced as to make the planet fall off into the eternal vacuum of dead space. We must fight. If you ever need us, Roxanne, really need us, send out the signal and we will be there. You have seen our sand craft. They are fast. We are philosophers and healers, it is true. But our destructive abilities are as powerful as our healing. We have thought long on this, but it has been decided. We are with you. We are free fighters now.
The four free fighters stood at the eastern end of the Glower's village as the 30 came to greet them goodbye. Their organ systems pumped vividly in the afternoon sun, their blue electricity coursing around them with a perceptible hum.
I wish we could shake hands.
Unfortunately, our actual touch would kill. We may never know physical contact. We must be satisfied with the mental connection to life only. That is our life, our way.
Thank you. You saved my life. And you are very kind. There is something in you that I wish everyone could feel.
President Langford saluted stiffly, and the four Americans turned and headed back out to the wastelands and the fogs and the high rad deserts and the creatures that lived only to kill. They walked with their heads held high, typical of all free fighters, and were soon out of sight of the Glower encampment. The 30 stood and watched for a long time, able to see and feel the party long after they had disappeared from view. Then they broke and headed for their private chambers and activities beyond the comprehension of mortal man. Roxanne took the lead, setting a medium pace, as Kim was not used to walking long distances. By tomorrow, they would all be toughened up a little. The afternoon sky was streaked with thick, purplish stripes that cut across the sun from time to time, darkening the sky for a few seconds. To the north, thunder clouds flashed with atomic lightning, but ahead of them, the horizon was clear as crystal. They would march into the evening to get a good start. They would head back to Century City and help the president reestablish his authority across America. And the particle beams, they would need more of them. Another expedition would have to be mounted. The telepathy, too. Somehow, he'd have to teach that, if he could figure the damn stuff out himself. There was much to do. Battle lines were being drawn. It was going to be quite a war. Doomsday Warrior, the last American. Adapted and directed by Dan Smith. Dialogue editing and digital effects design by Johan Detweiler. With performances by James Komacek, David Coyne, Terrence Aselford, Jeff Baker, Tim Carlin, Michael Glenn, Christopher Graybill, Ken Jackson, James Lewis, Dylan Lynch, Tony Penny, Barbara Pennellini, Mike Replogle, Rick Rowan, Erica Rose, Nanette Savard, Mort Shelby, and Kate Torrey. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Featuring music by Johan Detweiler, Aaron Miller, and Nathaniel Perry. Doomsday Warrior is a graphic audio production. Copyright 1984, Ryder Stacey. Production copyright 2007, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers, James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed Doomsday Warrior, be sure to look for Don Pendleton's Stony Man and James Axler's Deathlands, available at road stops everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll also find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free screensavers, desktops, ringtones, and games. Keep listening for episode 6 of Mark Dalton, Owner-Operator.